Hare Krishna. It's very humbling to glorify Srila Prabhupada after hearing from His Holiness Pajar Swami, because Prabhupada deserves to be glorified by people like Pajar Swami. But at the same time, just to express our gratitude, whatever it meant, has to be spoken also. I was just thinking in the morning, talking to some devotees, there are people in this world who are very impressive, but the impressions are like the firecrackers, because to impress people you need to spend on PR. It doesn't last long. There are people who inspire, but inspiration is also, it may stay for a long time, but it is meant for a very small group of people. Like we hear the story of squirrel doing an insignificant service to Lord Ram, but still compared to Hanuman, Hanuman's service was not only impressive, it was not only inspiring, but it was creating a lasting impact. So Srila Prabhupada represents that principle of creating a long-lasting impact. It has impression, it has inspiration, but most importantly, that impact, as Swamiji mentioned very beautifully, that Tulsidas did not exist during Akbar's time, but Akbar existed during Tulsidas' times. Because he said the saintly people require a greater respect. So similarly, Prabhupada's contribution in regards to creating such an impact, yes, certainly we have a parampara system. You know, parampara system continues to go on, where there are gurus and then continue to remain this parampara system. But still, the impact what he created in regards to spreading Krishna consciousness, and not only giving Krishna consciousness, but spreading clear thoughts, clear understanding what bhakti is, clear understanding what karma is, clear understanding what is the constitutional nature of the living entities. We get to interact with lots of people in regards to many aspects of Vedic culture. But one thing what we see is lacking is the concept of loving service to Krishna. There everybody, almost everyone makes the mistake. But Prabhupada, so simplistically, but at the same time, very profound concept he gave. I remember a great Sri Vaishnava scholar, he mentioned that Prabhupada is a Pratasmaraniya. Pratasmaraniya means when you get up in the morning, the first person you should remember is him. He said because his contribution is so assertive. When he came to America, I was mentioning that those who came to America, they are very apologetic about certain aspect of Vedic culture. They didn't want to introduce. They were afraid how the Western world will take it. But he said, Prabhupada was very assertive. He established deity worship where deity worship was condemned, where deity worship was seen as something against the whole concept of religion. But he said very assertively, not offensively, not aggressively. Assertiveness, he said, is based upon proper knowledge bank, a proper understanding and proper culture. So very easily, very assertively established deity worship. So he was mentioning that his contribution is very impact creating. So therefore, there is no question in anybody's mind to ever consider that I could match anywhere close to what he did. One thing we learn from Prabhupada's contribution, that we ever remain his most insignificant volunteers. We do not have any other position other than becoming simply insignificant servant and contributing whatever we can contribute in regards to serving his mission. That is what I pray to Srila Prabhupada, that he engages me in his service through his devotees who are sincerely, honestly, without any motivation, trying to unite, as Pejar Swami mentioned, that brotherhood, seeing Krishna consciousness within our society and also spreading outside our society. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Govind Prabhu. And now I would like to request His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu to make his offering. And meanwhile, Radhesham Prabhu, please be ready.
Hare Krishna. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur wrote a small booklet about the four acharyas of the sampradaya, Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, etc. And as an introduction to that, he wrote a small article as an introduction. And the title of that was The Unique Position of an Acharya. And therein he writes that the characteristics of an Acharya, especially a founder Acharya, that distinguishes them from the rest. He said, he expresses many of the qualities, but I would like just highlight a few things that I found to be very striking. Many think that the path of bhakti is a bed of flowers, and therefore a lot of people take to bhakti. And why they consider it's a path of bed of flowers? Because they include within bhakti blind faith, indiscipline, recklessness, a lack of power of discrimination, sentimentalism, and emotional outbursts as being in the category of devotional service. But Shastras and Acharyas say that although bhakti is the only means to achieve the ultimate goal, it is full of thorns, especially in Kali Yuga. He gives the example, just like the first pioneer who goes into the forest has to pick out the thorns. And while plucking out the thorns, there are two dangers. Lot of hurt is caused to his own body and bleeding is caused. And then many snakes and wild animals may attack. Similarly, when trying to preach the message of pure devotional service, an acharya has to face tremendous personal inconvenience and opposition from so many varied forces who criticize, condemn, or try to minimize. So first thing, what an acharya does, he says, the acharya with selfless compassion warn those who are entering the path of devotional service of the obstacle that they are sure to face, so that the sadhakas may safely and without disturbance reach the goal. And how do they do that? By their personal example and by their instructions and their writings. The second characteristic feature of an acharya is his tremendous unbounded enthusiasm. He says, despite knowing that all the different types of difficulties and trouble in removing the thorns, one should not lose enthusiasm for this service. Rather, the endeavors and enthusiasm will progressively increase as he progresses toward the goal. This increase in enthusiasm is one of the characteristics of an acharya. In fact, the more there is opposition, the more the enthusiasm of the acharya increases. It's like a professional who becomes warmed up. A kshatriya becomes warmed up when a lot of blood comes out. When a professional player, I went to a table tennis international championship. After 45 minutes of practice, when generally people get exhausted, they actually get warmed up. So this is that. Only when there is opposition, then the enthusiasm of the acharya increases. Why? He says, an ordinary devotee has certain difficulties, problems. The problems of ordinary devotees to maintain their enthusiasm, one is selfishness, desirous of one's own happiness and interests. The second is laziness. Third, fear of shouts of irreligious people. So they don't take the trouble and the risk of being abused by others. And fourthly, some may become bhajanandis to avoid the trouble and criticism of others. Just before coming here, we were discussing with Sri Pejavar Swami, and a question was put to him. It is described that sannyas is not recommended in Kali Yuga. Then why are we giving sannyas? So he made a very interesting point. The type of sannyas that was recommended in the ancient times, Kutichak, Bahudak, Parivrajakacharya, etc., was to renounce from the world, go away from the general public. That sannyas is rejected in Kali Yuga. But in Kali Yuga, the sannyas that is propagated is to go into the people and establish dharma. So that is the kind of sannyas that even Mahaprabhu took. Paratmanishtham. Therefore, he quoted the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he took sannyas, he quoted the Avadhut Brahman sannyas. He said, Paratmanishtham. Just for the Paratmanishtha, to go out and preach. But an acharya is motivated by genuine concern for the distress of others. And what is his internal thought, which is the source of his enthusiasm? He thinks, even if hundreds, thousands, or all the godless people of countless universes assemble and abuse me with harsh language, I will accept it boldly and boldly continue to declare the truth. If these topics enter the ears of even just one person, and if he removes the contamination of cheating propensity from his heart, then I will think that I have been able to fulfill Lord Chaitanya's mission. And we heard this morning very wonderfully the realizations and experiences shared by Mandakini Mataji about how Prabhupada went into the Iron Curtain and he gave his full energy and full time just to one devotee. He said, that's enough. That's how an acharya sees things. And that's how his enthusiasm always remains alive. He feels, I know that all living entities are wandering in the material universes because of their aversion to Krishna. So not everyone is going to hear about the truth. So even if one person hears, that is sufficient. Such a person can first perfect his life and then preach it to others. Then he talks about a general devotees who take up devotion. Very interesting, he says, they maintain Shakta philosophy internally, Shaiva philosophy externally, and Vaishnava philosophy publicly. What does that mean? Shakta philosophy is enjoying propensity, a materialistic person. So generally, an ordinary devotee enjoys, within that purview of Vaishnavism, he is maintaining a Shakta philosophy internally, to enjoy as much as possible. And then Shaiva philosophy of indifference towards the suffering of others, and a Vaishnava philosophy publicly by wearing the signs. This is the situation of a general devotee. But in a godless society or in media presented by godless people, the people who are mostly glorified are those who desire personal happiness, those who accept the conventional path of birth and death, those who make a business of the holy name, mantras and recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, or so-called renounced people who imitate Paramahamsa Vaishnavas. But an acharya does not expect or care for the cheap adoration of ordinary people that his materialistic so-called devotees hanker for. Nor does he engage in solitary bhajan while considering only his personal self-interest. Rather, he follows in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya and tries to deliver all of the people of the world while setting the perfect example. Fifthly, he says, even though such preachers are seen to be put into difficulty by malicious people, they are not actually disturbed because, like Lord Vishnu, Vaishnavas too are transcendently situated. Then he says, even Ravana could not disturb Ram because he only kidnapped an illusory Sita. And then he mentions how, do not be surprised when you start speaking the truth, you may be rejected and abused and harsh words may be used. He speaks of Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu loved Prahlad till he started speaking the truth. Ramanuja, he was loved, but as soon as he started speaking the truth, his first guru, Yadav Prakash, rejected him, wanted to kill him. The priests of Srirangam wanted to poison him. The Chola king, a fanatic Shaivite, wanted to destroy him. So do not be surprised, he says. Life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, and his followers. The moment he came back from Gaya and started speaking, people started revolting. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, when he showed his compassion, wanted to show his compassion to Jagai Madai, that is the time trouble started. And how an acharya is completely transcendental and independent is mentioned. The leaders of society may be rulers of kingdom, may have the power to punish and kill, but a Vaishnava, and especially an acharya, is never subject to their control. The so-called Vaishnavas may lick their feet, but a real Vaishnava neither cares for them nor is afraid of their allegations, because he is free from the contamination of Kali. And finally he says, why we should study the life of an acharya? When the acharyas preach the truth in this world, they also had to face stiff opposition. By studying their lives, one can see how they simultaneously displayed anger at those who are envious of the devotees and set the ideal example for the benefit of others without any personal motive. Simply by seeing or hearing and scrutinizingly studying the lives of such pure devotees, devotion for the maintainer of all living entities, Lord Vishnu, becomes an established fact within our heart. So we are so fortunate. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in Bhaktya Loka, talking about Sato Vrittehe, Sadhu Vritti. He said there are two kinds of Mahajans. The Para Apara Koraho Vichar, Narottam Das Thakur says. Purva Mahajan means before Mahaprabhu, and Apara means after Mahaprabhu. And we are so fortunate that so close to our own lives, we have had such a transcendental and powerful acharya manifest and perform an activity in practically our own lifetime, within our, so close to our lifetime. And therefore, I would always sometimes wonder, what if suddenly Narada Muni happens to come here in Kali Yuga? What would he do? But no need to speculate. Just look at Srila Prabhupada and you'll know what he will do, how he'll go about. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you.
Radha Gopinath Prabhu. Now I'd like to request His Grace Radhesham Prabhu to make his offering. Meanwhile, Rohini Priya Prabhu, please be ready.
ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജന ശലാഖയ ചക്ഷുൻ മിലിതം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീ ഗുരവേ നമഃ. ഓൺ ദിസ് മോസ്റ്റ് ആസ്പീഷ്യസ് ഡേ ഓഫ് ശ്രീ പ്രഭുപാദ്, departing to the spiritual sky, I feel like a small baby in front of so many senior Vaishnavas here assembled today, and feel grateful for the opportunity to share my heart with all of you. What is the greatest gift of Srila Prabhupada that makes us so fondly remember him today and for all the devotees worldwide? The essence of a Vaishnava, I heard that the essence of a dham are the saintly people. The essence of saintly people is the holy name and the holy fame of the Supreme Lord, which they distribute. So Srila Prabhupada gave such a sound vibration, the Vedic sound vibration, which has so deeply affected, touched and positively influenced the lives of millions. If you give somebody food today, it will turn into stool tomorrow. Even if you give some material gifts, they are all perishable. But the transcendental wisdom is such a thing, like the Goswamis wrote some literature some 500 years ago, and today you can see that wisdom traveling all over the world by the spiritual endeavors of Srila Prabhupada and his disciples who are spreading it worldwide today. That's the nature of transcendental knowledge, that it multiplies more and more and brings great joy to the hearts of millions. And especially Srila Prabhupada's contribution is making that transcendental wisdom easily accessible. Just like on a hot sunny day, if you see a coconut tree with a lot of coconuts, you are very thirsty, but then you have no access to it. Somebody should know how to climb, and somebody else should have the necessary tools to open it and give you the coconut water, isn't it? Similarly, the acharyas have written commentaries in Sanskrit language, and that is very grave, deep and profound, and the world did not have access to it. But Srila Prabhupada brought that great wisdom because he is such a personality, he could understand all the writings of acharyas and brought it in a way that we could also access it, the whole world could access it. Another thing is the simplicity of presentation. Like Srila Prabhupada gave the example of car and the driver. In the Upanishads, the example of chariot and the driver is given. But I don't know how many of you travel in chariots nowadays. So he gave the car and the driver. And Prabhupada said, Brahma is the first engineer of the universe. Everybody understood what is the meaning of an engineer. Similarly, Prabhupada said the demigods have their helmets. So when I heard the word helmets, I only knew of Indian helmet. Because we call it kirit or mukut. But Prabhupada wrote a language which could be understood by all the people worldwide. Simplicity of his language and accessibility to the wisdom, and which is very deep and profound. And also, the message is loud and clear, like ringing of a cymbal, with no ambiguity. Every line we read in Bhaktivedanta purports makes even a child understand you are not the enjoyer. Krishna is the enjoyer. Because Srila Prabhupada said, this world is for enjoyment. Of whom? Krishna. Not of the living entities. A watermelon tree produces a watermelon, not for somebody to pick up and eat it, but to be offered to Krishna. But if somebody takes a watermelon and offers to Krishna, the watermelon tree gets a human body in the next life. And the person can accept Krishna's prasad also. So in this way, everyone is producing pearls and jewels and diamonds and everything is there in this world ultimately to be offered to Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, through the spiritual sound vibration, he gave us access to the most beautiful central figure of the whole creation, Sri Krishna. Etutvadiya charanam buja kosha gandham jigranti karna vivarai shuti vatanitam bhaktya grihita charanah parayacha tesham napaishinata hridayam burhat svapumsam. This verse says, the knowledge we are getting in Guru Parampara is Shruta Ikshita knowledge. Ikshita means to see. Shruta means to hear. We have to see Krishna by hearing about him. Like a lotus is known for its beauty, for the sweetness of the honey, as well as its fragrance. And that's why often Krishna's bodily limbs are compared to the fragrant lotus. And to have access to that beautiful personality, Krishna, whose face is more beautiful, whose smile is even more beautiful, that has to be accessed with the ears. We have to see Krishna by hearing about him. Just like if somebody finds a glass of liquid in a chemical laboratory, and there is a freshly cut lemon pieces next to the glass of liquid, one might imagine that probably it must be lemon juice. But before drinking it, you would like to confirm it with somebody in the lab, isn't it? Otherwise, it could be acid also, which can make a hole in our tongue. Because it's better to hear from somebody authoritative what it is. Is it lemon juice or is it some acid? In the same manner, all the truths in this world around us, we cannot see with our naked eyes. But by hearing from the Acharya, the intelligence is awakened. The doubts are destroyed. And the very great clarity of vision is achieved by the hearers. So, in this way, the lotus feet of Krishna, which is fragrant, which carries the fragrant saffron particles, that is entering the nostrils, and the Shruta Ikshita, it is said, when it enters the ears by the sound vibration of the Acharyas and Gurus, then that awakens one's love for Krishna. So this is actually the greatest contribution of Srila Prabhupada. Today on this day, Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan was lying in his bed, and he asked the devotees to read from the Srimad Bhagavatam his commentaries on Lord Kapila. Somebody might want to hear about the Gopi Geetam or the Gopi's pastimes with Krishna, rasa dance or something. But Prabhupada wanted to teach the world that we need to hear the foundational philosophy about the transmigration of the soul from one body to another, how he is suffering in this world, and we have to awaken to the emergency in spiritual life. And also, when Prabhupada was lying in his bed, there were devotees who were doing kirtans outside, and also Prabhupada would often be having closed eyes, and they were dripping the milk drops in his mouth, and still Prabhupada was commenting on Bhaktivedanta purports to the last moment. Everything is acting and moving under the will of Krishna. So this is one of the sentences he said, and he was having such a clarity of giving purports even in those last moments, because Prabhupada knew the sound vibration emanating from his mouth, which is actually Krishna's mercy coming in the parampara, is most vital amritam for the whole world of living entities who are thirsting for it. No ordinary person can provide it. So this is actually Srila Prabhupada's mercy, which the whole world has benefited from. His Holiness Satsupadas Maharaj compares Srila Prabhupada's passing away with Bhishma Pitamaha passing away. Because Bhishma was surrounded by very great personalities, many demigods and rishis when he was leaving his body. Similarly, Prabhupada was surrounded by his most glorious, illustrious disciples from different parts of the world who were totally, absolutely dedicated their hearts to him. And also, Bhishma Pitamaha had a Ichamrityu. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada also said, Kuch Ichcha Nahi, he said, when he was about to leave the body. I have no more desires. Whatever I wanted to do, I have done. Now my disciples will do the rest. And he was very confident when he was leaving. And also, like Bhishma Pitamaha is a very great personality. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada was worshipable by all. So, on this auspicious day and this auspicious moments, we would like to offer our heartfelt thanks to gratitude to Srila Prabhupada for passing down the sublime transcendental message of the parampara in such a lucid manner for all of us to access. I saw a picture in Back to Godhead magazine, one of the magazines, where there was a huge ship in an ocean which was filled with dirty sewage waters. And in that, there was a captain with a cap. You can guess who it is. And he was steering the ship. And there was a flag on which it was written, ISKCON. And many devotees were raising their arms and chanting and dancing, chanting the Maha Mantra. And behind in the ship, some people were throwing the ropes to help other people who are drowning in the sewage waters with a liquor bottle in hand and cigarette in hand or somebody else's hand. So they were pulling them up, and they are the preachers. So that picture was very representative of our movement. Thanks to Srila Prabhupada for giving us this beautiful ship of ISKCON and for steering it so nicely and giving us the gift of our spiritual masters who are leading as so wonderfully as Srila Prabhupada did, following in his footsteps. Thanks to Srila Prabhupada for giving us this big family of Vaishnavas in whose association we are so blissfully situated in our spiritual life. Thanks to Srila Prabhupada for giving Krishna in the form of the granthas, the books that he gave us, which is a constant guiding light for our lives. And thanks for this wonderful ship. Let us never jump off the ship, but bring more and more people into the ship. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Thank you, Radhishyam Prabhu. And as Roni Priya Prabhu makes his offering, I would like to request His Grace Naveen Andiradha Prabhu to please be ready. Hare Krishna. We are fast approaching the time where we have to sing the prayers for Prabhupada. So kindly restrict it to 5 minutes, please.
Krishna. Today afternoon, when I was hearing the wonderful eulogies being offered to Srila Prabhupada by his disciples, I was amazed at how Srila Prabhupada can touch you in unique ways. I grew up in India. So like anyone who grows up in India, a holy person becomes much more attractive if he has certain miracles to show. Prabhupada, especially if the holy person is absent physically and there are miracles, then everyone offers respects. So today afternoon, I had no idea that I would get this opportunity to offer to make an offering to Srila Prabhupada on this auspicious day. So when I was informed, my immediate reaction was that it's not possible. No. But right before that, Mother Mandakini had said that if there's a difficult task and you say yes, and she was quoting Srila Prabhupada, so I said yes. And I said, yes, this is how Srila Prabhupada is showing his miracles. Srila Prabhupada touched everyone in unique ways, especially me. One of the unique ways he touched is by his purports, by giving his books. As I said, growing up in India, especially, there's so much of pressure to get degrees. After your name, you have so many initials. BE, ME, MBBS, Prabhupada would say MSc, PhD, but they have no knowledge of what is a soul. So we have that. So when I first heard about the initial that Krishna has, some degree, POG, Personality of Godhead. So I felt this is great. And then there was SPOG, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And recently, about 4 to 6 months back, and the purport to the first verse of the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita as it is, I found another degree that can be applied to Krishna, SATPOG. And I thought that there mustn't be any material educational institution that can give such a long name and initials. So Prabhupada says, SATPOG, Krishna is the supreme absolute truth personality of Godhead. So miracles are attractive, and especially when there are miracles that touch you personally, small ways, little ways, like someone may have a toothache and he goes and prays before photo and the toothache goes away, says, hey, this is a holy person, saint. So I was traveling about 4 months ago, I was traveling from central India towards Mumbai, and I had to take a connection at one of the stations, take another train. I was traveling by train, and I had sufficient time to make the connection, but Indian Railways, they did not let me down. I missed my connection. So then I went, I know the rules of the Indian Railways, so I went to the station master and got it endorsed, my ticket endorsed, so I could catch another train that has a vacancy. So there was a next train that was coming towards Mumbai, and I went and I asked one of the colleague to go and approach the TT, the ticket examiner, TTE, in the train. Do you have any seat? So he said, who is asking? I said, someone who has a ticket. So he said, all right, if you're ready to pay the difference of fares, there is a seat. I said, no, I've already paid the difference of fares. So he says, no seat available. This was to my colleague. So then we tried to apply the rules, and we said that you have to follow the rules. So he becomes angry and he says, no way I'm going to allow you into the train. So then, humbling myself, I approached him with folded hands and said, sir, you are everything to me now, so please let me. He looked at me and said, Hare Krishna? I said, yes. I am a follower of the Hare Krishna movement. He said, all right, you can enter into the train. And then he started discussing with me who I was, where I was, and then he said, do you know who I am? This is a train ticket examiner, the TTE. I said, no, I have no idea who you are. He said, I am one of the Goswamis of the Radha Raman temple family. When I was a young boy, I used to go to this, you know, you worship him as Prabhupada. I used to go to where he used to be sitting and writing his books, or he would be staying. And we would go and beg laddus from him, prasad from him. And sometimes we'd try to steal that from him, and Swamiji would get a little bit concerned about us and said, you'd shoo us away. No, 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 you've taken enough laddus, now go away. But every day we would go to get laddus from him. He said, I will give you the best seat available, the best berth. Talk about miracles. A holy person. What is very important is that later on reflecting, I thought I hadn't even prayed to Prabhupada. That Prabhupada, please let me get a seat. I was so passionate about getting my connecting train. But still, just because I have accepted shelter at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, he, like a caring father, is always taking care of us. I felt so very cared for and secure in Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada, a prayer is that we have been trying in so many ways to maneuver and negotiate the twists and turns and the missing connections in our life for so many lifetimes. And now somehow or the other, we have realized our mistake. Please constantly shower your blessings on us and let us get our connections wherever needed. Again, in India, growing up, you hear this saying that a grandfather plants a tree, the grandson eats the fruit. So he did all the struggle of planting the tree. we, the next gen, are receiving the fruits. Such a wonderful occasion to come to a holy dham with all wonderful sadhus and receive the nectar of Krishna consciousness from the lotus lips. This is the fruit of the tree that Srila Prabhupada planted for all of us. Today is the auspicious disappearance day of Srila Prabhupada. It is a moment of sweet pain, the pain of the realization that we are missing his association. Well, the next gen, we are grateful that we could have his association through his books and through his disciples. The sweetness is remembering all that Srila Prabhupada has offered to us. This is the day when we can approach the grandfather directly. Growing up, I had very doting parents. My father would provide me all that I would be asking for, and he could provide for. If I needed a cricket bat, he would get me a cricket bat. If I needed a cricket bowl, he would get me a bowl. But then, one day, somebody said that, you know, a relative is coming, my father's cousin, an elder cousin. And we call the elder cousin big father, elder father. And since that day, whatever I would ask for, they would say, when your big father comes, you can ask him. He's very magnanimous. He'll give you so much. So when the big father did come, I grew so greedy that I asked him for 5 cricket bats, 6 balls. And he asked me, what are you going to do with it? I said, I don't know. But just the idea that you are very magnanimous is making me extremely greedy. So similarly, our spiritual father has offered us so much of affection, kindness, care. There's nothing lacking. In fact, we have much more than we deserve. Our spiritual masters, devotees, they have taken such wonderful care for us that we can't be asking for anything more. But still, this is the day when we get to approach the grandfather. So we are becoming extremely greedy. Although we can do with 1 cricket bat, we want 5 now. Because this is the day we can directly approach the grandfather, very magnanimous. So today, for all of us who are the next generation, the third generation, this is 2 things that I could ask personally and on behalf of all of us of Srila Prabhupada. First is, Srila Prabhupada, please always let us remain grateful to all that you have offered to us. Never let us forget ever what we would have been without you in our lives. And secondly, Srila Prabhupada, please give us the strength to carry on the legacy that you have handed down to us. And it is a voluminous legacy. Once Srila Prabhupada was walking down a street in the West, in the United States of America, and there were these huge skyscrapers, and he looked up and he started crying, and he said, they're suffering so much. Such compassion. This is a legacy that has come down to us. When we look at skyscrapers, the legacy that has come down is that we can feel the compassion for their suffering. It's a huge legacy. We need spiritual strength for it. And we're asking Srila Prabhupada that as the next generation, we can carry on your legacy and give it to the next generation too. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So, it's 7:11 p.m. according to my watch here. What we'll do is we will try to end the program just before the time Srila Prabhupada actually departed. At that time, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj would be offering aarti to Srila Prabhupada. I'd like to request His Grace Gaur Gopal Prabhu to please sing the samsara prayers. And before that, I would like to request the last two speakers to kindly make their offering and please try to follow the time constraints.
Hare Krishna. With the permission of my spiritual master and all the assembled Vaishnavas, especially our seniors, the true greatness of a person is estimated in how that person is able to tolerate provoking circumstances. Srila Prabhupada was tolerating so many provoking circumstances, and he never refused anybody. I find this a very astounding quality, which is very attractive. Whether it be Robert Nelson, who followed Srila Prabhupada around in the early days, who was always with him, at his side, walking with him wherever Prabhupada went, Robert Nelson would accompany Srila Prabhupada. Or it'd be Srila Prabhupada's first team of book distributors were the different booksellers in New York. Srila Prabhupada had about half a dozen bookstores that he would frequent every week. And one lady who was working in one of the bookstores said, "I like Indian food very much." So Srila Prabhupada said, "What do you like?" She said, "Samosas." Next week he brought samosas for her. Because that was his team of book distributors. These were the people that Krishna had given him, and Srila Prabhupada never refused anybody who helped him in his mission. Srila Prabhupada, he drew out the love and commitment from all living entities that came in contact with him. I was in Aarhus, Denmark, distributing books, and one lady, I showed her Srila Prabhupada's books, she almost fell off the bicycle. She said, "I know this man, I met this man." I said, "This is not possible, he passed away a long time ago." She said, no, "I'm from Hollywood, California. And when I was a young girl, a teenager, my friend told me that the Swami is in Los Angeles, we have to go and meet him." So they both hitchhiked to Los Angeles, and she said that we were both throwing rose petals while Swamiji was walking from the car to the temple. And then my friend said, "We have to keep those petals because the holy man had walked over them." And she said, "And I have kept them till today. I still have them." And she was glowing. And then she bought a book and gave me a donation, and she said, "But I have to give you more. Can I give you my bread? Can I give you my fruits, my vegetables?" Except her bicycle. She wanted to give me everything she had. And this was 45 years after she met me, after she met Prabhupada, that I met this lady. And I could see how simply by once coming in contact with a pure devotee, sadhu sangha, sarva shastra koi, lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoi, that simply by a fraction of a moment of association with devotees, a person's life can change. My spiritual master asked me a few minutes ago whether everything is all right. And I said, "Yes, it's wonderful. But actually, it's not all right, because I meet people who are having very intense devotional experiences on the street. I meet devotees here who are showing highest levels of love and sacrifice. And myself personally, I'm feeling unable to access, unable to connect. But at least I can appreciate. I can see true devotion, and I can see what is worthwhile to aspire for in this lifetime." We have heard from the struggle of the devotees early on in Russia, Anantashanti Prabhu, Mandakini, and so many others who sacrificed tremendously and risked a lot, and how, practically speaking, the whole life has changed by Srila Prabhupada's five-day visit to the Soviet Union in 1971. And one Bhagavad Gita was left behind, and now there is more than 100,000 devotees chanting Hare Krishna. A few days ago, I was in mainland China, and so far to this day, we have only one ashram in China, and about 1,000 devotees. 10 of them are here, today. So, but Srila Prabhupada mentioned that the Chinese, they will be the last, but they will be the best. So by the efforts and dedication of these devotees now, Bhagavad Gita has been legally published by government-approved publishers. Srila Prabhupada's entire Srimad Bhagavatam set has been published and is available to the public. So I take great solace in the examples of such dedication and devotion. And I take great inspiration from seeing all of you taking care of each other and showing great signs of dedication and love for your spiritual master and for Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was very unique in his ability to empower individuals. Jamuna Devi and Guru Das practically built the Vrindavan Center, and Srila Prabhupada gave them direction, and he had full faith, he had full trust in them. There's no greater force or power in the world than if somebody really trusts you. So we can see how, by Srila Prabhupada's potency, this movement is spreading all over the globe. And we're very grateful to be allowed to be at least a witness to see this miracle unfold. And we beg humbly to Srila Prabhupada and to his surrendered servants that they may allow us to be part of this, to tolerate us, and to allow us a simple service in this endeavor. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So now we have His Grace Dwarkadish Prabhu make his offering.
Hare Krishna. It is a day of deep meditation to introspect into the beautiful oceanic qualities of His Divine Grace. One quality which stands out in my mind today is the power of Prabhupada's words, which was backed up by unlimited conviction in Krishna Bhakti. I'll cite three examples to show the power of Prabhupada's words. Simple sentences which shook the lives of people. Prabhupada had the power to destroy material illusion from its very roots. Ambarish Prabhu, at that time known as Alfred Ford, came to Prabhupada's audience for the first time in his life. And people introduced him and said, "This is Alfred Ford. He's a great grandson of Henry Ford." Everyone knew Ford is a very illustrious person. Prabhupada's first question, a powerful question to Alfred Ford: "So, where is Mr. Henry Ford now?" And that absolutely shook the earth beneath Alfred Ford, Ambarish Prabhu. In one sentence, one question, this person was so shaken up, because in this one question was embodiment of Prabhupada's conviction of the futility of material existence, the eternality of the soul, the concept of reincarnation, that we are not these bodies, we are eternal souls, that how everything depends on how we invest the human life into a fruitful future by investing in Krishna consciousness. So this one simple question made Alfred Ford at that time completely realize that all sorts of material pursuits, however great they may be in the eyes of the world, are useless utterly if they are not rooted in Krishna bhakti. And that one question changed the very heart of this great Vaishnava, and what this person is doing today, the world can see. That is the power of Prabhupada's one simple, apparently casual question to a newcomer person. Prabhupada's conviction. Giriraj Maharaj, at the time involved in the New Age, the hippie movement and all that, which was going on in the 60s, came to meet Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada saw him and asked him a question. Again, the power of Prabhupada's simple but powerfully rooted questions based on his conviction. Have you come here to become God or to become a servant of God? That one question, this person was deeply involved in searching for spiritual consciousness. And he said, when he heard this first question from Prabhupada's lotus mouth, that I could see that this person had the mystic power to see through me, through my very soul, and he had traced his track through the road I had walked to meet him into my apartment I was staying and looking at the door of my bathroom. It's on the bathroom I had written, Giriraj Maharaj says so, I am God. So Prabhupada, in this one question, destroyed the entire Mayavad philosophy in its very roots. He destroyed the misconception that Jivatma can never become God. He can at best try to be a humble servant of God. What is the power of this question? We are in Madhavacharya's place today, and how much we can realize that these simple questions, what takes years to understand and realize, the concept of Mayavad and Bhakti and Spirit Soul and Dvaitvad and all these complex philosophical questions which people keep on wrangling with, in a simple question, Prabhupada destroyed the illusion in Giriraj Maharaj's heart. And he understood. Giriraj Maharaj understood at that point that this man is teaching me the right path. That I am never going to become God. Nobody can ever become God. You can only become a servant of the servant of God. And this one question, and Giriraj Maharaj, what he has done for the world today, the world has seen. Power of Prabhupada, simple, basic, profound questions. Shuddhakirti Prabhu was for the first time meeting Prabhupada. There was a gathering of devotees and Kirtan was going on, and then after the Kirtan was over, there was Prem Dhwani. So everyone just sort of, as we know, suddenly just bows down. And he didn't know what was happening, so everyone just bowed down around him. And he also sort of bowed down. But by the time he bowed down, he was sort of sitting on somebody's head. Because he didn't know what was really happening here. So then he bowed down, and then Prem Dhwani was over, then everyone got up. And the person underneath also got up. And he jumped. He jumped a few feet and he fell in Prabhupada's lap directly. So, what is the difficulty? That one apparently simple comment, a casual, not a deeply meditated answer or question. What is the difficulty? And the entire book is Shrutikita Prabhu has written about Prabhupada's memories is this one first beautiful line which he said. And that there is this line which was spoken apparently without any planned consciousness guided his life through all the difficulties of his life. Something which you can take in our lives also. When we have our difficulties with our senses, our mind, what is the difficulty? Why can't I just follow Prabhupada's instructions? When we have issues with our seniors, our married partners, what is the difficulty? Let me just follow Srila Prabhupada. When we have problems and challenges cooperating with each other because of our differences and our mindsets and different styles and fashions of doing different things, what is the difficulty? If this basic, simple question we can ask for ourselves, what is the difficulty? Prabhupada has done everything for us. The books, he's made, that's like Hanumanji made the bridge across. You know, Prabhupada made the entire bridge from the material world right to Golok Vrindavan. A huge bridge. And all of us monkey-like devotees who are here, we just have to walk on that bridge. Jumping, singing, dancing. Prabhupada said our philosophy is chanting, dancing, and feasting. So natural question is, what is the difficulty? Why can't we just do it happily? Prabhupada says, just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. This is Prabhupada's beautiful words. Let us take all these words to heart and thank Prabhupada for all the gifts it has given us. Yes, Prabhupada, There will be challenges in life, but we believe what you have given is so wonderful, and we will not complain about the teeny mini difficulties. We will just do what as you have said. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. The time is fast approaching. We checked two sources. Tamal Krishna Goswami in his diary says that Srila Prabhupada departed around 7:25. Satsuru Maharaj writes 7:30. So the time is just right. We will have His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj will be offering arati to Prabhupada. We will have Gaur Gopal Prabhu sing the samsara prayers. These lights are supposed to be off. Our security department devotees are anxious to announce that they have seen two or three snakes in the lawn area. So please clear that area. Don't stand there on either side of the pandal. हमारे सिक्योरिटी डिवोटीज ने यहाँ पर दो तीन सांप देखे हैं, तो जो भक्त कृपया लॉन पे खड़े हैं, कृपया पंडाल के अंदर आ जाएं।